Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. Well, special welcome to the visitors. So glad to be in the house of God. Let's pause for a short prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. We ask that your presence be here this morning. The Holy Spirit be rest upon each one of us. Pray that your presence might be very real to us, that we can feel your presence and that our hearts might be touched, and that you could cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So with this season that is here today, we call it Christmas season. I wasn't really going to say much about Christmas. I had another message prepared, but in the last week I just thought I should maybe mention a little bit about the history of Christmas. So I got our World Book Encyclopedia out, and I just... Just going to read a few paragraphs out of the history of Christmas. The first mention of December 25th as the birth date of Jesus occurred in AD 336 in an early Roman calendar. The celebration of this day as Jesus' birth date was probably influenced by pagan festivals held at that time. The ancient Romans held year-end celebrations to honor Saturn, their harvest god, and Mithras, the god of light. Various peoples in northern Europe held festivals in mid-December to celebrate the end of the harvest season. As part of these celebrations, the people prepared special foods, decorated their homes with greenery, and joined in singing and gift-giving. These customs gradually became part of the Christmas celebration. Gift-giving, the custom of giving gifts to relatives and friends on a special day in winter probably began in ancient Rome and northern Europe. In these regions, people gave each other small presents as part of their year-end celebrations. In 1100, St. Nicholas had become a popular symbol of gift-giving in many European countries. According to legend, he brought presents to children on the eve of the feast day. Christmas cards. The first Christmas card was created in 1843 by John Calcott Horsley, an English illustrator. It resembled a postcard and showed a large family enjoying a Christmas celebration. The message on the card read, "A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you." About 1,000 of the cards were sold. By 1860, the custom of exchanging Christmas cards had spread throughout Britain. The first Christmas cards manufactured in the United States were made in 1875 by Louis Prang, a German-born Boston printer. Here, just thought a little bit about Merry Christmas. Mary just doesn't seem to fit in with her. With our Christian culture, I don't think Jesus was Mary. The definition of Mary is full of gaiety or high spirits, giving pleasure. Synonym to Mary is jolly. Suggests high spirits expressed in laughing, bantering, and jesting. I do believe Jesus is joyful when sinners repent and come to Christ. I believe he is very joyful when it's a thing to praise God for. Christmas decorations. The traditional colors of Christmas are green and red. I guess I just wonder what comes to our mind when we think of these colors. For the Christians, it's green represents the continuance of life through the winter, and the Christian belief of eternal life through Christ. Red symbolizes the blood that Jesus shed at his crucifixion. Christmas decorations that feature these colors include the Christmas tree, the Christmas wreath, holly and mistletoe. I guess the world's look at the green and red probably is the Christmas tree and Santa Claus for the red. The Christmas tree probably developed in part from the paradise tree. This tree was an evergreen decorated with apples used in a popular day about Adam and Eve held on December 24th in medieval Germany. By 1605, some Germans decorated their homes with evergreens for Christmas. They trimmed the trees with fruits, nuts, lighted candles, and paper roses. Later decorations included painted eggshells, cookies, and candies. Nothing of the Christmas tree. There's two verses in Jeremiah 10. I look at them as almost a prophecy of the Christmas tree. Jeremiah 10, 3 and 4. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of a workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammer, that it move not. Customs of the people are vain. The celebration of Christmas became increasingly important in many kinds of businesses during the 1900s. Today, companies manufacture Christmas ornaments, lights, and other decorations throughout the year. Many firms grow Christmas trees, holly, and mistletoe. Many stores and other businesses hire extra workers during the Christmas season to handle the increase in sales. Much money involved. Much people scurrying here and there, shopping. The popularity of Christmas grew until the Reformation, a religious movement in the 1500s. Here's just a paragraph that I was going to just read it last, because this movement gave birth to Protestantism. During the Reformation, many Christians began to consider Christian a pagan celebration because it included non-religious customs. During the 1600s, because of these feelings, Christmas was outlawed in England and in parts of the English colonies in America. The old customs of feasting and decorating, however, soon reappeared and blended with the more Christian aspects of the celebration. I guess it just, that paragraph there just made me think a little bit that they actually outlawed Christmas those 100 years there because of all the things that went with it. So I could title my message, Let's Give Jesus Our Presents. It could go a little bit with my next part here. I just have one verse that I was thinking a lot about and studying. The verse is found in James 1:20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And I guess this is something... it's been on my mind a lot, anger, and the damage that anger causes. Some definitions for wrath: strong, vengeful anger or indignation. Anger, an intense emotional state induced by displeasure and rage, loss of self-control, from violence of emotion. So I just picked out a few verses, some wisdom from Solomon, Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 14:29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Proverbs 19:19, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. Proverbs 27:4, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Next verse 27, neither give place to the devil. I think there's a lot we could take out of the scriptures where anger did a lot of damage, where it worked not the righteousness of God. We could, I'm sure we could think of a lot of stories, a lot of things that we did that didn't, when we got angry, that didn't work out, didn't work the righteousness of God. So there was one account in particular that I wanted to comment on, see what God says about anger. Genesis 4:8. We could turn there. I'll read verses 3-8. We all know that Cain got angry with his brother, and we know where that anger went. It caused the first murder. Genesis 4, verse 3-8. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and it shall rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. So I was thinking what God told Cain there. He asked Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Cain didn't do his best. He didn't bring his best. He didn't want to give up the best. God said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. So I guess if we don't do our best, if we don't give our best to Jesus, sin lieth at the door. And in this case, sin turned to anger. Anger turned into murder. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they become discouraged. Jesus said, whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Serious thing to be angry at our children. I've heard it said already, when we become angry with our little children, it's like taking a glass cup and throwing it against the concrete wall. It just shatters. We can't pick up those pieces and put them back together again. Thank God we have Jesus that can do that. He can pick up those pieces. But I think it's something that children remember for the rest of their life, maybe. I'll never forget. Never forget when I was a boy, baling hay was a stressful thing for my dad, and it is one of them things that's stressful for farmers today if it looks like rain. But we had this New Holland baler and a flat wagon. Dad would stand on the back and stack the bales, and one of us younger ones would drive the tractor. And we had a steep hill and had a lot of groundhog holes in it. So it was really a challenge to actually stack them bales to get them to stay on there. And I don't remember. I know it was Saturday, but it was being stressful for my dad. And I'm not sure if the bales didn't want to stay on the wagon, but I do remember things were getting pretty tense. And all of a sudden, the baler, the one tire just fell off. The axle just broke right off. And I just had to think, well, you know, Dad, we can't control these things. Just calm down. But we unhooked the baler, and Dad went in and made some phone calls, and he got the second baler lined up from the neighbor. It was one exactly like we had. And again, things weren't going so good. I don't remember if the knotter wasn't working right or what it was, but things were getting pretty tense again. And don't you know it? The second baler, the second wheel broke off the same way the axle broke off. God reminds us not to get angry. So anyways, let's give our best to Jesus. He has the cure for that anger. If we do well, God will be pleased with us. And, yes, there's that cure for anger. God's blessings.